You're supposed to say the lines.
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. Using opinions or other opinions.
Fuck that bullshit. They are my opinions. And my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlins' ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. Please don't do anything that these stupid-ass people do in podcast. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show.
I don't have it like I'm supposed to, y'all. I'm running behind. Y'all gotta forgive me. It's a technical difficulty day. We'll just leave it at that. Because I still gotta change the name because this is not Johnny. She doesn't look like a Johnny, does she? I mean, this is Sin Schrader Hill, and I am fucking everything up already. Welcome to Exploring the Paranormal Perspective, and this is no disrespect to you. It's just I'm stupid and I'm late.
I'm just proud to be here.
Now let me see if I can find that damn name. Where is the name on here? I can't find it. There's so many. Oh God. Okay, so once you get into Streamlabs and you get into OBS and you start layering everything, you start losing everything. And I've lost it. I don't know where it's at. Oh my bejeebus crispy. Well, welcome to the show, and I'm gonna find it. Everybody, this is Sin Schrader Hill, not Johnny. Sin Schrader Hill, just remember.
Hey everybody.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging there like a hair in a biscuit, let me tell you.
That's all we can do.
And I have a lot of questions for you, and I'm hoping that some of these people will come in with some questions for you as well. And I'm really trying to find that damn name thing. Where the hell do I have it? I don't know where I am. Ah, thank you for the follow. Y'all are awesome. All right. So to start off with, why don't you tell the people a little bit about you? You're an author, but you're not just an author. You're also a podcaster, and you're like a variety in the paranormal.
as one of the guys on the podcast says, I'm the wild card. You just never know.
I understand that.
I got started in all this pretty late. I've only been an investigator for about 10 years. So...
Started. Me too. You too. Yeah, 2012. 13. 12 for me.
Okay, well, 13 for me. So we're like right there.
Right there. It's like the beginning of the end of the Mayan calendar, the beginning of the new world or whatever.
Right? I wanted to be in a group so bad because I'd been watching all the shows and didn't know how to go about it. And my cousin actually had someone come down and investigate her art studio.
Oh, wow.
Everything on the square here in Fayetteville has something going on. I won't say haunted because that's what freaks everybody out, but it's haunted. And so, you know, anywhere you go around the square, something is going on. And throughout the county, it's just, you know, we are 30 minutes north of Huntsville, Alabama, hour and a half to about 80 something miles south of Nashville. We're right in the middle of the state at the very bottom. Our little county looks like, if you're looking at the map, it looks like a little house with a chimney on it. So it's right in the middle. And we're just right on the
y'all
state
got
line.
That for, right, y'all. Alabama. Bama.
Alabama.
Bama is in the house.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Yes, girl.
I will drink my husband. Tell you what, that irritates the hell out of my husband. But Roll Tide. Thank you.
Roll Tide all the way.
Yes, yes. But so she had this group come down from McMinnville, which is 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it until after it happened. And I was like, why didn't you tell me? I wanted to be there. And she said, well, here they are. Go talk to them. I got them to come down and investigate my mom's old store. My dad had died in 2001, about 2 weeks after 9/11.
Oh.
So nothing to do with 9/11, but he just died of a massive heart attack in his sleep.
Oh man.
It was unexpected. I was daddy's girl, so that was hard. It was really weird because I was doing physical therapy. I'm an assistant, licensed assistant, and I was out in Washington State, and they said, where do you want to go next? You're almost done. I mean, you got 2 more weeks. And I said, Alaska. I just want to drive up. And they said, we don't have anything in Alaska right now. What else do you want to do? And I said, until you get Alaska, I want to take a little break. So I drove all the way back to Tennessee from Washington State. And the next month, my dad died.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, it was just meant that I was supposed to be home. And I never traveled physical therapy wise again after that. I have since kind of backed away from therapy, but I'm doing fitness and ghost hunting and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, fast forward to 2013, this group comes down. I'm the trigger object for my dad.
Oh.
I'm just standing in the dark in this empty store. It used to be, they had an auto parts store for close to 40 years. And I'm just standing in the dark talking to my dad, hoping he would speak or hug or something. And, you know, I didn't think anything was happening.
Oh,
I didn't know. I didn't know. My husband was down there, which that was the only investigation he's ever been on. He doesn't care for them. He just doesn't want to be a part of it. He doesn't mind that I am. He just wants me to be safe.
Yeah.
And because he doesn't understand any of it and doesn't really want to understand any
understand.
Of it. So I'm kind of on my own there, which is fine. But he was down there for that one, and they took a break and a rock got thrown.
Oh, God.
Kind of like, hey, why are you taking a break? I'm ready to talk.
I'm right here.
Yeah. And so they came running back in. Three of them had gone outside for smoke break.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
The other two went running out. The other two had been changing their equipment and checking their cameras and everything. They were busy in the corner. They did not throw the rock. And my husband and I were the only other two in there, and we were just talking. So when the rock got thrown, they ran out and said, look, something's amping up. You need to get back in.
Ooh.
They came running back and things just started up. The only thing that lit up in the entire place, now utilities had been cut off 2 to 3 years prior to this investigation. So there were no utilities on at all. And it was gutted. My husband had cleaned out the entire store floor and basement.
Wow.
And nothing was there. So the only place it lit up was exactly in the same spot my dad's office chair had sat for so many years.
Oh, my gosh.
The wildest thing. So the K2s went off. You know, they set up a laser grid. Everything went off in that room, in his office, and right where his chair was. They got two audio clips, which were kind of, the first one was confusing to me. It was a strange holy mackerel, which nobody in my family ever used. Nobody ever said that. And to me, that's kind of an older saying.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know, 20s to 40s.
Maybe a grandparent or something like that.
Possibly, but they were never down there. So before it was an auto parts store, it was a Red Cross office. It was a ice cream plant. There was furniture in there for sale there, you know, just different things over the years. And interestingly enough, the basement back in the late 1800s had been the first floor.
Oh.
And then at that time, the second floor was built. It became the first floor. That's how much the roads have built up in Fayetteville. So it's a lot of underground stuff there. Now that place in the late 1800s was a turkey slaughterhouse.
Oh my.
There were thousands of turkeys here in Lincoln County. And several of them met their demise there, I'm sure. And didn't
you have turkey ghosts?
We did. They caught turkeys clucking.
Oh my gosh, that's almost sad.
Those are the only two EVPs they got. So I was, you know, the audio thing bit me. I was like, oh, I have got to find these voices. I've got to find more turkeys clucking, or, you know, horses whinnying or something. I've got to hear these voices. And so they took me in their group, and I became the case manager, finding places for them.
Nice.
And yeah, I had the best time. They taught me that this is Ghost Hunters of Southern Tennessee, James Jones and Wayne Baker. They taught me how to get started and taught me that I was sensitive. I didn't know I was sensitive. Wayne was the one that told me I was.
Oh,
He took me on the first investigation, which was a residential, and he says, what do you think? And I said, I don't know, but it seems like, you know, and started talking. He goes, you know, you're sensitive, right? I don't know what that means. And he says, it means that you can feel things, and sometimes you can take on other people's feelings too, and you've got to learn to use that. So I was like, oh, that's why growing up, I felt stared at all the time. And, you know, this everything just kind of started falling into place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the weirdest night, but the greatest.
Oh, so, I bet.
A few months later, I broke away from them and had been doing all the audio and loved EVP work. Everything around here is called Elk Valley something.
Yeah.
Elk Valley this, Elk Valley that. And I thought, Elk Valley Paranormal, Electronic Voice Phenomenon. I kind of like it.
EVP. Yeah.
So that was the name I came up with.
That is an awesome way to come up with a name. I love the EVPs too, and the spirit box is like my favorite equipment.
I love it, and the rest of my team hates it. I just hate it.
Yeah, they don't like that. It's like, hey, whenever I ask it a question and it gives me a quick response, I'm all for it.
Exactly. I don't care how you get it.
No, absolutely not. Okay, so we got your paranormal side. Now, there is a podcast side that you're on, too.
Yeah.
Because I saw that in the episode I saw, the dude was talking about his beer.
That's Buddy. Buddy Money Fair. Buddy Money Fair.
Buddy Money.
And King Mike L is in charge. King Mike L is the man. He is the boss. So I was on there on the clip show. They've got several nights that they've got different shows. I'm on now. I'm on every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. And I've been on the clip show twice on Thursday nights. And the clip show is, and if any of your listeners are team members or something that have clips like audio, video, and want to send it in to Buddy Money Thayer or King Mike L at Legit Paranormal, they would be happy to listen and have you on as a show, because what they do on Thursday nights is they'll play the clip, try to figure out what the hell they're hearing,
right?
Which is usually not right. I tell you, when they started listening to mine at first, I was late getting on there, and they were in the gutter the entire time. And you know, once you get in the gutter,
you can't get out.
You can't, because that's all you're hearing. That's all you hear. And that's all they were hearing. And then one of them was saying, no, I think. And then Mike would go, yeah, but I'm hearing this. And then the other one would go, oh, yeah, I kind of do hear that. So they were all in the gutter the entire time, which was hysterical to me. But
that sounds like something that happened yesterday with us. We were out in the graveyards doing some little spirit box sessions, and I could have sworn I heard saw my dick or something like that. And I'm like, oh, no, I didn't. You're being perverse. I don't think that's exactly what he said, but I went with it because I'm 12 in the head. And I was like, well, what did you call it? Or something like that. And I heard Excalibur, and I said, no, you didn't call it Excalibur.
That's not what I heard first.
No. But, I mean, I'm 12. I'll tell everybody, I'm 12 in the head. I, me and my husband do that shit all the time, too. And it's like, it's just hilarious. I'm perverse sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and once you start, you just fall into it more.
Yep. So they can get a hold of them at Legit Paranormal to do that?
Uh-huh.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah,
they are on Facebook. They're also, you can subscribe to listen to their broadcast on legitpodcast.com. So awesome. We're on YouTube. We're on several different platforms. So
I like to push Rumble because there's not a lot of paranormal people on Rumble.
Yeah.
And I like Rumble. And also on Kick, on Kick.com. There's not a lot of paranormal peeps on Kick.com either. So yeah, y'all get out there before everybody else starts piling in.
that's all due to Mike, his hard work. So he is incredible as far as everything that he has done to put the show together.
We've got
Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. I think. That's all, but I'm not positive. And there's like two shows on, I don't know, Thursday night. And there's two shows another night, and he's going to be mad at me because I cannot remember. But I'm basically new there. After the clip show, I was on in April the 16th, the Sunday night. On Sunday night, they have guests, and then they've got a panel of us that ask questions to the guest, and it's so fun. Oh. And you learn so much. Last week we had a guy from MUFON.
MUFON, yes.
Oh, wow. Shane Hurd. He was incredible. He was incredible. The week before that, on one show, we had Tim Weisberg. Just different people are coming on, and they are so fun.
Right? Learning it's awesome so when they're fun.
Oh my goodness, yes.
There's some that are sticklers, and you feel like you can't really lift the beer bottle. You have to go off to the side. It's like,
Luckily, I haven't seen any like that yet. I'm sure they're coming, but I haven't seen any.
There's a few that I had on a previous podcast that were pretty much sticklers, and it was like,
oh no. Well, where's the fun in that?
I know, right? There's no fun in it.
No, if you can't laugh and have a good time, why bother?
Exactly. This is supposed to be something that you can, that you enjoy, that you're passionate about. And I understand being serious about some aspects, because we are.
Oh yeah.
I'm serious when it comes to review and all that and trying to get things together. But at the same time, you got to be lighthearted and fun, because if not, it's going to make it boring and not fun.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Well, not only have you done the pair, the podcast and the teams, but you have four books that you have out on Amazon. And your most recent is It's Not Goodbye, Signs from Beyond. And that is, I started reading it. Yep, that one. And I started reading it, and like today I had a meeting and I was still in the middle of reading that story that I was telling you about earlier. And I had to stop, and I was late for the meeting because I had to wash my face. Because it was something real close to the heart. I've always been worried about my babies, and I can only imagine as a mother what she went through on that. And you being the aunt, oh my gosh, honey, I am so sorry.
Thank you.
Because that is really recent, and for you to write about that so soon.
Well, you know, like in the intro, I tell you that I lost motivation. I started that book in 2020 and then completely lost motivation. Had no idea why. I don't know. But I'm self-published, but in my head I had put Easter 2020 as a date to bring the book out, because it was hopeful for people, you know. And I had about 50 people send me stories to include, to talk about their loved ones and to memorialize their loved ones, including pets, in that book. And I lost motivation. Easter passed, 2021 Easter passed. I still did not have my motivation back. And 2023 came, and I was visiting my good friend Valerie's store. She is where I get my sage and my crystals and all that fun stuff. So Valerie Talent, Young Vintage Antiques, south side of the square. And I was down there, and she goes, like everybody had been asking, how's the book coming? It's not. And she said, when were you supposed to get that out? 2020, you know, Easter. And she goes, well, you know, you've only got a month before Easter now. You could do it. You really could if you wanted to. And I said, I don't know, but let's see how many I can get done. And within the next week and a half, 17 stories, boom, 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 just came out.
And wow.
Right after that, we lost Wyatt in a motorcycle accident.
Gosh.
And Wyatt, I had just been training him to be my videographer. He's 19 and a half, going on forever. He was working a couple of jobs, going to the community college here and helping his mom. It's just his mom and he. And he was doing everything for his grandmother. He was the only grandson. He was my mini-me. He did everything in the world that I liked. And especially, you know, he would call me up and say, Aunt Cindy, what are you doing this afternoon? I don't know. What you got in mind? Well, can we just like ride around and talk about, you know, ghosts or anything? Yeah, sure. Okay. So we'd go ride around. We'd go out to dinner. We, you know, just things that murder mysteries. He loved to dress up and do murder mysteries with me.
Those are fun.
Oh my gosh. The last one he was in, he got to be the killer. He was so good. It was so freaking good. And the first one he went to, I got to tell you this about him.
Go for it.
The very first one he went to, he played the Karate Kid in the thing. And I was a Cindy Lauper. It was back in the 80s. And he says, Aunt Cindy, I don't know anything about Karate Kid. I said, just remember wax on, wax off, wax on. And I said, you'll need to know the crane. So he did the crane several times and would do, you know, this kind of thing. Well, he was the very first one to speak that night. And I just said, don't worry. You just listen to how other people start it. And he goes, Aunt Cindy, I had to talk first. And I went, oh, okay. You're good. It's all good. Just read this paragraph right here. And he did it, and he finished it, and they went on. And he leaned over to me and goes, I can do better than that. You will. So the next time they said his name, he stood up and he goes, "Well, I don't know what you thought, but I, you know," and just started this big voice and it just being Mr. Actor and all this kind of stuff. And everybody just kind of went, "What just happened?" He was fantastic. He was so good. I'm so proud of him. Aww. And then the next murder mystery, he got to be the killer. So
He was my baby.
He was my baby, and losing him was the hardest thing, and it's still the hardest thing in the world.
I bet. Reading it, after, just,
I tell you, about 2 weeks after he died, I thought, oh, that's why I lost my motivation. This book was supposed to be for him. This is his book. And so it's dedicated to him. It is his the first story after the intro is his, and he's still visiting. He visits his mom there for a while. I think it was about 3 months after he died. He died on April 6th, 2022. And so we just had his first year angelversary recently. And for the first 3 months, or probably longer, after the funeral, he turned his bedroom light on and opened his, or closed, or no, she would close his door because she wanted to keep the scent the same and keep everything in his room the same. She turned the light off because it's just her and, you know, utilities are expensive.
Yeah.
She would come back through, his door would be wide open, and one of the lights would be on. And the lights in his room, one of them is a three-way switch that you have to click, click, click over to turn on. They've just got the one bulb in it, so it's not a three-way bulb.
Right.
So you got to click it three times to turn it on. The other lamp was one of the push-pin types.
So both of them were hard to... Yeah.
He turned one of those on every day and opened his door. And his door, you had to wrestle the dang thing to open it. You had to put a shoulder into it to open it.
Oh, my gosh.
So it kind of sticks. And every day, he has appeared to her in reflection. He's appeared to her as an orb, which, you know, most orbs are dust and yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
This orb, I asked her, I said, so she asked me one night, I went to see her, she said, "What do you know about orbs?" And I said, "Well, you know, what people mostly think are orbs is dust or insects or water droplets or different things like that, even camera flares."
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, what are real orbs?" And I said, "Well, true orbs have their own light. They have their own path and they can redirect it. So they don't go with the breeze or they don't go with a draft.
Right.
They can go against the draft and they can go up or they can, you know, they have a path that they follow their own path." But I said, "Mostly they're lit from their own light." And she said, "I saw one." And I said, "Where?" And she said, "Right here. Last week after you left, I came back upstairs. Bo is this big dog she's got, big good guard dog. He comes in the door and stops dead. And she looked to see what he was looking at. And it was, I asked her, I said, "How big was this orb?" And she said, "About a basketball size."
That's not an orb.
You know, normally they're not that big.
No.
You're lucky to see a tennis ball size.
Right.
You're really lucky. Basketball?
I have never seen.
I have never either.
Now we're going to be right back.
Do you know where the world's most secret bases are located? Do you know what spooky action at a distance means? Is there a conspiracy by aliens to prevent us from conquering space? And where is the best place in the United States to see a real UFO? Find the answers to all these questions and more in Mac Maloney's new book, Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. Visit places you never knew existed. The Phantom Tunnels of Tokyo, the UFO Trail in South America, Hong's Hat, and the very mysterious M Triangle. Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe contains hundreds of reports on ghosts, haunted planes and ships, weird celebrity deaths, mysterious sounds, and a breakdown of every monster in America, state by state. You've heard him talk about it on the radio. Now, get all of Mac's paranormal research in one large volume. Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe, with a foreword by the very famous Juan Juan. On sale now in your local bookstore or on Amazon.com.
Are you looking for a supernatural radio show that is informative and fun? A show with topics such as ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic energy, spirits, cryptids, and more, hosted by paranormal investigators with years of investigations under their belts? Then look no further than The Calling 2.0, powered by the Sim Crew, hosted by paranormal investigator Jerry and psychic medium Valentina, along with others. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hey, I told you we're going to be right back. Wasn't that long, right?
I have never either. And she said, I rubbed my eyes. She said, I kept staring. Bo was staring at it. I walked over and sat down, and I said, how long did you watch it? And she said, I think about 20 minutes. She said,
oh my gosh,
all over the living room, in and out of his bedroom, around this living area. And I said, did you talk to him? She said, I was afraid to. I thought he'd go away. And so we called my friend Mark, the guy that does all of the covers and all of my illustrations, Mark Elliott Fultz, such a gifted psychic medium and a dear friend of mine. And we called him and asked him about that. And he said, well, you know, that was Wyatt. And I said, I thought so. And he said, absolutely. He said, Susan, did you talk to him? And she said, no, I was afraid to. He said, next time, just say, Wyatt, I know you're here. I see you. But can you maybe manifest into something more that I'm used to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your physical
form. Mm-hmm.
Form, yeah. And that was just one of the instances. He's come to her two more times in visions, and one was at the foot of her bed. He's just doing so much. He's messing with my mother, his grandmother. Oh. He'll mess with her Kindle. She'll have it propped up, drinking her coffee, reading, and it'll fast forward to the next chapter and then fast forward right back. And the first couple of times she did it, it freaked her out.
Right.
Her phone wasn't working. Her Kindle wasn't working. Nothing was working. Cindy, you've got to fix this. Fix this. What's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. My Kindle's new. Well, it did this and this. I said, Mom, think, who would do that to you?
Prank her all the time.
She said, that was my baby, wasn't it?
Aww.
And I said, yeah. So the next time it happened, she closed the Kindle and she said she sat there and talked to him.
Aww.
And so he finally came to me. I've not seen him yet, but my sister was telling me a story of something that he had done to help a situation out with
people. Oh. All that thought. I'm sorry. Somebody just followed. And I don't want people to miss your story. Thank you so much for the follow, Spook Daddy. All right. I'm so sorry.
No. And she was just telling me a story. I was taping it on my phone because I didn't have anything else with me that night. It was just she and I. We were sitting on the couch. The dog and the cat were asleep. The television was on, but no sound.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me something. This was February that I was recording this. And it took me until about April to decide, okay, I need to transcribe that and get it off my phone.
Mm-hmm.
6 minutes and 42 seconds in, Wyatt speaks.
No way.
It's the clearest, it's the loudest EVP I've ever heard.
And it's his voice.
And it's his voice. He did. She was telling me the story, and you hear tap tap, which we didn't do. He did that as well. And would you like to hear it?
Oh, I would love to. Yes.
Okay. Now I played this for Mike and them, and they said, "Sin, you know people are going to think that's fake." And I said,
"Let them think what they want to." Yep. You know it's not.
Yes, it was just the two of us there. So let me see if you can hear it and understand what he's saying. Take me just a second. Okay, you're going to hear my sister speaking.
I said, yeah.
Can you hear her?
Mm-hmm.
And
did you hear that? Okay. Let me back it up again.
That was him. She said, yeah. And he said, over.
When she said, your son's name was Wyatt, and he drove an El Camino. And I said, yeah. And then he
did
said.
Did you hear that?
Did you hear said, that? Plain as day.
Best EVP I've ever gotten.
Clear. And he gave it to you.
And you gave know, and he's smiling. He's smiling. As
you can
he's
hear
saying
it. Did yes. you hear that?
And you know, if I had been thinking, I was training him for this group. I was training him. Why didn't I think before to check any audio?
Because you were upset.
You think, yeah.
You weren't thinking.
He knew I was recording, and he knew to get as close to the recorder as possible and be as forceful as he could be. And he did, and he's smiling.
Oh, my God. I would have broke down in tears. I'm about to break down in tears right now.
Listen, I was transcribing it that one night in April, and when it got to 6 minutes 42 seconds, I froze. I played it back. I thought, no, I didn't hear that. I did not hear that. And I played it back and heard it again. It's Wyatt. That is Wyatt. And I played it again, and I stopped it, and I went running to the bathroom door. My husband was going to take a shower, and I went, I said, are you in the shower yet? And he goes, no, what's wrong? And I said, please come out here. Please come out here. I need you to hear something. And he said, what's wrong? I said, I just need you to hear something. He said, what is wrong? He thought something was wrong with my mom and my sister. And I said, I just need you to sit down and listen. And I played it for him. And he said, that was Wyatt.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
That was Wyatt.
Wow. That is amazing. I am really trying. I can't see anything right now. Hang on.
Well, and you see why Mike said people are going to think it's fake.
Yeah, because it's so loud and clear. It sounds like somebody's right there in the room with you guys.
And he was.
Well, yeah.
We just didn't know it. We just didn't know it. We couldn't see him.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. No, y'all would have reacted to that completely.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, because we had heard things before. I go over there once a week and just sit, and we just talk about anything and everything, watch a movie, whatever. And we've heard different things, and we'll go and see, okay, well, that sounded like that came from his room, and we'll go check and see, you know, what could that have been? What could that have been? One night we heard this weird squeaky noise, and we're looking around trying to figure out where that was coming from. And I said, didn't it sound like Wyatt's room? And she said, yeah, but I don't know what it would be. I twisted the doorknob, and it was that sound. I said, Susan, listen. And she said, that's what it was.
Oh.
He was just saying, hey.
I'm here, listen. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. That is amazing. I bet it kind of gives y'all a little bit of comfort that to know that, I mean, I know it's not comfort enough, but
right.
It's at least a little bit to know. Oh my gosh, that is amazing. Yeah, I was listening to that. I was reading that. And it was just, it was getting to me because I have an 18-year-old and I have a 21-year-old. And I know what it's like to be a mom and worry about your babies all the time. And I just can't imagine. My 18-year-old is talking about getting a motorcycle. And I'm like, no, you're not allowed to have anything like that until you're out of my house. I don't want you. And when you do, you better go take. I mean, I've just been like, he's been wanting one since he was 14. And I'm like, no, because you can drive at 15 in the state of Oklahoma with a motorcycle license. And I'm like, no, heck no, no, no. These people don't care. I've known of so many people that have died in motorcycle accidents here because nobody watches the other person.
That's right.
And you're young. I know you want it, but try a car first, son, please.
Right. And see, and Wyatt's whole thing was to save gas money, money, because he was working two jobs, going to school, helping his mom, helping his grandmother. And I mean, he was giving money to his mom for utilities and stuff.
Just dependable, reliable boy. What a good boy.
Such a good kid. Such a good kid. And God, he's missed every second of every day.
I bet. And y'all can read about this story too in her book, It's Not Goodbye, Signs from Beyond.
And it's on Amazon, self-published.
Yeah, and y'all can read the whole story. I know y'all heard the EVP from her here and all that, but y'all go read it, because reading it is just as heartbreaking as it is hearing it. But it's also a good shining light to prove that the other side does exist. And there are people, as long as you believe and you put yourself out there, you're going to hear and see, just like your daddy. Your daddy was trying to reach you and your mama. Yeah. With the pennies.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Man.
The same day that Wyatt died, yeah. I mean, he left me one just to let me know he had come for Wyatt. He was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mom found hers within the next several hours. And I said, Mom, Daddy was just letting you know that he's watching over Wyatt. And the wildest thing is when Mom said, I want to, and you probably read this part too. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to Mark, call Mark. And we called my friend Mark and he said, Wyatt's fine. He's with his granddaddy. Now I hadn't told him anything, you know,
but he had no clue.
None. I didn't tell him about pennies. I didn't tell him about anything. He actually is the first person I called, though, from the morgue and said, Mark, because Mark knew Wyatt and Wyatt loved Mark. And, you know, he was just, he said, oh, God, I'm so sorry. So anyway, Mom, in a couple of weeks, said, call Mark. Let's see if Wyatt wants to tell us anything or whatever. And Mark said, okay, hang on just a second. And he went into getting ready and everything. And he said, well, he's with his granddaddy. And he said, but who's Sis? And
yeah, I remember that.
Mom had walked to plug her Kindle up or something. And I said, Mom. And she said, what did I miss? I said, I can't believe you missed that. Did you hear what Mark said? And she said, no, I missed it. What was it? He asked who Sis was. And she said, that's my mother. I said, I know. That's Nanny. That's my grandmother. Nobody knew her by Sis.
Wow. Nobody.
Only her brothers and sisters who were long gone called her Sis. And my daddy called her Sis or Lucille or Lucy, sometimes Lucy, but dad would call her Sis. And Wyatt was with dad and my grandmother.
Oh, wow. That is awesome. Oh my gosh. That is just amazing. That whole story just gets your heartstrings because, oh my Lord. How do you think that your book, this particular book, now that it's out, because it came out in November, how do you think this book kind of helps with helps other people with the loss of a loved one and to help give them solace and peace?
One thing I wanted to do with this book was to memorialize people. And so I had, when I first started it, a few stories, and I asked them, first off, do I use your name? Do I make one up? And there were only five that needed to be anonymous. All the other stories, they said, no, please use our names. And I said, can I put in memory of after your story? Everybody wanted that. There was only one that said, no, just the story's fine. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even the pets, we have in memory of Whiskers. Aww. You know, and the death day, Whiskers was my baby that came back.
You know, I've heard a lot about cats and animals and all coming and showing themselves lately.
Yes.
Which is funny.
And just think, I mean, they loved you. It was unconditional. And why wouldn't they come back and check on you?
Exactly.
A really good friend of mine in Nashville, with Eric Freeman Sims, he's with Unseen Paranormal podcast. And he wrote a story, gave it to me about his dog Chase, and Chase still visits him. So, you know, they're still around just to check in, if nothing else. Sometimes when we need it the most.
Yeah.
When we're so lost for whatever reason, we're so depressed, so, you know, we miss them so much.
Yeah.
And get a sign. Feather. A penny, anything. Sometimes even phone calls.
So really?
That's kind of weird. Mark has gotten, or his mother, excuse me, has gotten a phone call from her deceased sister.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, there's nobody there to talk, but it says who it is on the ID. His particular story, he called his Aunt Red. And when Red died, that was his mother's favorite of all the sisters and brothers. And so she was lost. She was devastated. So they, after the funeral, they had her landline, everything unhooked and, you know, closed up, sold the house. And one night, his mother was so distraught. She's just missing her so much. And the phone rang. And it said Red.
Oh, I bet that was unnerving at first.
Yeah. Now, Red wasn't talking, but Red called.
Wow. That is awesome.
You just never know. You never know. And when you think about it, spirits, it's easier for them to work with frequencies and circuits and energy, things like that, any kind of electronics, they can maneuver. So just kind of be on the watch for that kind of thing.
Oh, definitely. There's quite a few stories of so there's a little boy that's in my house, and I've already told him he can come with me if we move or whatever. I love this little boy. He likes to play tricks, especially with my equipment, because I'll sit there and start something and I know I've done it, but it's not ready. It's not done. And it's like, all right, Toby, what are you doing? Stop doing it. But yeah, I blame all my technical difficulties on Toby because I don't want to be at fault.
And he's like, okay, all right.
I'll show you.
My problems are clear.
Exactly. I'll show you. You just wait. Oh my gosh. So how do you ensure that these stories that you're receiving from people are authentic and genuine?
I'm trusting that they are. They're, I guess there's only a handful of them that wrote into me that I did not know before. One even came from England.
Oh, wow.
And so after they sent stories, they're still in contact with me.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure they're legitimate. Yeah. They're all legitimate.
Yeah.
What's incredible about this book, because I always wrote scary stories about my, you know, investigations and stuff like that, ghost stories.
I love ghost stories.
There's one fiction book, but the first and the third are true ghost stories of investigations and things of me, my team, or my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then this fourth book was just kind of set in my lap. It's like, you need to do, God basically said, you need to write this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't even have enough stories. So I'll put something out there. As soon as I posted that I was looking for stories, I had this barrage.
Wow.
And people just reached out and said, I've got one if you'd like to hear it. Well, absolutely, I'd like to hear it. Well, I've got a little one. It's just about a feather, but it's just one feather. Well, let me hear it.
Exactly.
Those were incredible stories. Incredible stories. And they're so incredible that they're still reaching people.
And oh my gosh.
Their family members are sending stories in. So there's going to be a sequel. I've already got about 20 stories for a sequel that's going to come out next year.
Now, is this the Whispers in the Dark series, or is this the other? No,
this is It's Not Goodbye series.
Oh.
So this is, if any of your listeners have a story of a loved one that has sent signs, near-death experiences, deathbed conversations, you know, someone on hospice that sees their lost loved ones that have been dead for 50 years.
Yeah.
They're in the room. We just don't see them, but they do. Stories about that, stories about pets coming back, anything like that you would like to have read. It can be anonymous if you'd like. We can make up names for everybody, and we can still put in memory of and have a made up name. It's not a problem. But if you want to memorialize someone you love, then I'm taking stories, and you can send them to sendschraderhillauthor@gmail.com. And I'd be glad to put them in.
Sweet. Awesome. I might have one for you. I just got to ask the mama if it's okay. and then I'll send it to you. I'm hoping she'll say yes. I'm pretty sure she will, but okay. I don't want to assume.
Right.
But yep, I got one for you. But yeah, you have three other books. You have The Whispers in the Dark, True Ghost Stories.
Yeah.
And you have Web of Terror.
Yeah, now that's the fiction books, and Mark and I decided to try fiction. So,
I've read bits and pieces of that.
Did you?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I liked it.
Thank you. This one, They're Speaking, Are You Listening, was actually supposed to be my first book, but I couldn't figure out how I wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it became my third book. When you read it, you can go to elkvalleyparanormal.com, and for each of the over 100 EVPs in the book, you can listen to them on elkvalleyparanormal.com.
I loved that you did that, because a lot of EVP books don't have that. They're just like, oh, we called it EVP, right? And this is what it said. And it's like, oh, I would really love to hear it. And then when I saw that in that book, it was like, oh, she had it nailed. She hit the nail on the head.
But you know, sometimes though, tell your listeners too, when you go to any website, or when you're trying to listen to EVPs, if you put in earbuds or headphones, it's easier to understand. If you're trying to listen to it without that, it's going to be a terrible time. And sometimes even with earbuds and headphones, you have to listen to the thing over and over and over, and you still might not get exactly.
Especially if you're deaf like me.
Well, sometimes, you know, people will hear something totally different from what you found. And someone asked me that the other day. Well, how do you cope with that? Somebody else swears at this and you swear it's that. Well, that's what I hear.
Yep.
This is what I hear. You might hear something different, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
I always try to listen to them first before seeing what anybody says they are. So I can say, okay, I heard right then. Because there's a lot of times that I'll review my own stuff. Like here recently, we went on an investigation this past weekend. I still got up, not this weekend, but the weekend before. But anyway, I have to listen to it quite a few times before actually hearing it, unless it's a very good one. And even then, sometimes I'll have it in the Dolby program and I'll see it on the wave and I'll see something that doesn't kind of match right. So I'll get it and I'll have to enhance it because I can't hear it completely. But there's others that could hear that no problem. My dad, 74 years old, can hear me across the darn room just talking like this. And whenever I was younger, he could hear me in the living room when he was in the darn bedroom when I was trying to talk low to mom. And that man has some hearing, and I wish I had that hearing. But others, like on my podcast, my podcast and my shows are always really loud because I'm deaf, and I know what it's like not to be able to hear things. So I'm always trying to tell people, make sure you lower the volume or it's going to be real loud when you start it, because I try to accommodate to those that are hearing impaired. But It is amazing when you actually get it and you come up with stuff, because like that new Adobe program to do copyright stuff, or not copyright, the hearing impaired thing, the CC stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it can do that. So if it comes up with something and it says something, it's like, I didn't hear that. Let me rewind. Yes, girl, that thing is amazing when you have something and you find something. Mm-hmm. Because the AI will come up with what it says. Now, sometimes it's just garbled stuff. But a lot of times it'll come up, if it's loud enough, you can hear it. It'll say something, or it'll be like moan here or cry here.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. I've really got to start getting all my stuff in it and start getting it to translate everything, because it is really cool. And I just happened on that by accident. I was in my Premiere and I was doing the transcribing thing, and it was transcribing everything. And it was like, well, that's pretty cool. I didn't hear that at first. But yeah,
wow.
For all you paranormal people out there that want to have something to try to back you up on things, try that. Try the Premiere thing. And
it's okay. Tell me the name again, because I'm going to write it down.
It's Premiere Pro with Adobe. And okay. I think you can get separate programs through them separately. I have cloud, so I have a whole thing for it. But it's, and when you go inside, it's this transcribe, and it'll transcribe the whole thing that, like, if you have a whole 2 hours of EVP, it'll take a little bit, but it'll transcribe the whole thing. And that's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting, the stuff it comes, because sometimes you'll say something and it's not, it doesn't exactly transcribe it. But a lot of times it's right on point, and it's pretty interesting.
That's a big time saver too. That's a really big time saver.
Yes, definitely.
Wow. And you can always go back to different spots and recheck.
Yeah, that's why you got to double, triple, quadruple check. Make sure that it is legit. Because if you are a paranormal investigator out there, you want to make sure what you put out is honest to God truth. Because the minute they find out you are trying to scrub something or make something up, your whole paranormal career is down the tubes.
That's right.
That's got to be honest. But okay, the EVP book. So what sets this book apart from all the other EVP books out there? I know I probably already said it, but what sets it apart? Because you said you have over 100 and something EVPs in there. I don't even know if I have that many. And that concludes part one of Zen Schrader Hill. Tune in next week for part two. I was going to have a long montage of words going on here, but you know what? It's time to go. So we'll see y'all later. Bye.